It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On today's show, we are pleased to be joined on the telephone by the Republican Congressman Tom McClintock, who represents District 5, which covers the greater Motherlode region. Congressman McClintock, thanks for joining us today.
Well, it's always a pleasure. BJ, thanks for having me.
There's a lot to get to. There's been a lot happening in Washington, D.C. over the past month,
you think?
To say the least, following the inauguration of President Donald Trump. So what are kind of your initial kind of big takeaways and observations so far?
Well, first and foremost, we've seen a 95% decline in illegal border crossings in just a month, which goes to prove that if you actually enforce the laws, people tend to obey them. For 4 years, Biden refused to enforce those laws, and we had the biggest illegal mass migration in history, which is now costing taxpayers about $160 billion a year. Well, all that nonsense came to a halt on January 20th. Then you look at what DOGE is doing to uncover all of the ridiculous and absurd waste of our taxpayer money. And it's not just the billions of dollars that's going to, you know, left-wing causes and bizarre social experiments. It's the $4.7 trillion that we simply can't account for.
You know, you mentioned the immigration and the changes. Was that primarily changes to executive actions?
Yeah, well, that was simply enforcing the law. You know, I've told you the story before, going down to the border a couple years ago at Yuma and talking to the Border Patrol officers there. And I said, look, we're the Congress. We can't enforce the laws. We write the laws. What laws do you need us to write? And every one of them said the same thing. We don't need new laws. We need to enforce the existing laws. When we were over at Eagle Pass, the head of the Border Patrol there said, look, I'm standing in front of an open fire hydrant with a bucket. I don't need more buckets. I need somebody to turn off the hydrant. And that's what Donald Trump did, and the result has been dramatic. Our interior enforcement has now doubled, and we're finally removing these criminal illegals who have been preying upon our Americans all across the country.
You know, back to DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, you know, looking out, what type of long-term reductions and do you have like a number you're anticipating that they'll be able to cut?
Well, Elon Musk has said he thinks he can cut to $2 trillion a year. That's the entire deficit right there. People need to understand right now, everything that we spend on discretionary appropriations, that's all of our defense spending, it's all of the government departments, every dime of that is borrowed. So when he says we can go after $2 trillion, now, of course, he's talking about the mandatory and discretionary spending combined, but that by itself would end the deficit spending that's bankrupting our country and that's hollowing out our economy.
There have been some concerns raised locally by some related to Stanislaus National Forest and Yosemite National Park employees being laid off and what that could mean for operations and fire prevention type work. Do you have any inside information or observations that you can share about what's taking place in those areas?
Well, first of all, the freeze on seasonal workers was lifted yesterday, I believe. So 5,000 additional seasonal employees have been authorized. But I think the president is absolutely right to pause federal funding until we can find out where is this money going. You know, it used to be that we made money keeping our forests healthy and fire resilient. We sent foresters into the forest every year. They marked off excess timber, and then we auctioned that excess timber off to logging companies that paid us to remove that timber. That's how private companies make a good profit. That's how the federal government was doing the same thing with the lands we're responsible for. We had healthy and resilient forests. We had a thriving local economy. 25% of the revenues generated by those federal timber auctions went directly into local governments that were affected by the public lands, and the other 75% went back into the Forest Service to take care of our forests. Well, all of that's been thrown out the window by the woke left over the years, and we need to get that back. And I think that there are sizable savings going to be made as a result of that. And so many of the bureaucrats we have, I mean, you take a look at Yosemite, the superintendent of Yosemite lives in Tiburon and commutes. 34% of the National Park Service employees nationally are not working on site. They're working from home. Well, you can't help a visitor at a national park if you're, you know, sitting in your spa on the phone.
Yeah, very interesting. I didn't realize some of those statistics. And you know, looking at Yosemite National
Park. By the way, we get those courtesy of DOGE.
You know, speaking of Yosemite National Park, there's been some questions about the reservation system and the potential that that plan may be scrapped. Do you know if that's true?
I'm fighting very hard to see that it's scrapped. It's been absolutely a disaster for tourism. It's negatively affected the business, all of the gateway community businesses that depend upon that tourism. It is a monumental headache, and it's being used as an excuse not to expand the capacity of the park itself to accommodate more visitors, and that's what I find the most appalling. Years ago, I went to visit the superintendent of Yosemite, and they have in their big conference room this placard that says, "Is it right for the park?" And I said, that's exactly the wrong question to ask. The right question is it right for the park's visitors? It's a question of attitude, and I am hoping that we will see a major attitude change in the days ahead.
How about the military and Department of Defense? Do you feel that those should be subject to cuts as well?
Yeah, of course. There's waste in all forms of the bureaucracy, and that includes the armed bureaucracy of our defense establishment. Just to give you one quick example, I learned a few years ago, when we rotate a tank crew out of, say, South Korea, we not only transport the tank crew back, we transport the tank all the way back across the Pacific, and we send a new tank with a new tank crew. Because of the emotional attachment they have to the equipment. Can you imagine an airline saying, no, we're going to assign one pilot per plane, and the plane's going to stay with the pilot? That kind of waste is absolutely egregious. And Musk has pledged to go after that just as vigorously as all of the other waste in the federal government, because that kind of waste could otherwise be spent to provide state-of-the-art arms for our troops, and it's detracting from our overall defense posture. We are spending over $800 billion a year on our national defense establishment. We need to be sure that every dime of that is going into, as they say, it's going into teeth, not the tail.
I'm curious, too, your reaction to some of the people who are upset about DOGE. We had a protest in Sonora, in downtown Sonora. About 300 people were at Courthouse Park this past Monday protesting DOGE and President Trump. What's your reaction to seeing that take place in your district?
You know, I cannot understand how anyone can defend the kind of waste that DOGE has already uncovered. I mean, millions of taxpayer dollars covertly used to support attacks on the Democrats' political opponents, millions more to support far-left causes in this and other countries, millions of dollars that were supposed to defend Ukraine that instead vanished into the pockets of Ukrainian oligarchs. Millions to fund the Wuhan lab that unleashed COVID on the world. $15 million spent on condoms for the Taliban. Millions more to support illegal aliens entering our country. Millions more promoting leftist gender ideology around the world. What was it, $200 million for circumcisions in one of the foreign countries. How can anyone defend that kind of reckless misuse of people's money, people who work hard to earn that money, who are struggling to make ends meet, and then their earnings forcibly taken from them and spent on this kind of nonsense? I don't know how anybody can defend that, but obviously there are a few among us who can.
Do you have any inkling, like, how long this DOGE process is going to take before they go through all the areas that they're trying to hit?
Well, at the rate they're going, probably not all that long. You know, their commission, I think, runs through July the 4th of 2026. They're on a fairly short time frame. You know, Musk is one of the wealthiest men in the world because, he is cut waste out of all of the companies that he has founded. He's thought outside the box. He's looked for new and a more efficient ways of applying resources. That's exactly the kind of expertise that we have needed in the federal government for years, and finally we have it. So I'm backing him every step of the way.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Congressman Tom McClintock on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with Congressman Tom McClintock about issues in Washington, D.C. on this weekend show. Congressman McClintock, during the first segment, we talked a lot about the early actions of President Trump and the Doge Group. You know, when it comes to just Congress itself and the power of the purse, what are the things that the Congress is focusing on right now?
Well, we just passed a budget out of the House Budget Committee last week. That will prevent the massive tax increase that is scheduled to go into effect next year. It's going to that if that tax increase takes effect, it's going to be about $1,500 of tax increases for an average family earning $75,000 at a time when they, you know, are already struggling recovering from the worst inflation in 40 years. In addition to that, we're ordering $2 trillion of spending reductions over the next 10 years. That's about $200 billion a year. And you know, if that sounds ambitious, remember that energy development alone, 8% of our entire GDP is energy, a lot of that fossil fuels. If we can knock that up to 9% by opening up America's vast energy resources, that's $250 billion going into the economy right there.
How would you like to see that happen?
Exactly the way the federal government or the Trump administration is doing it, by getting out of the way and allowing us to develop our natural resources. Remember, the first day that Joe Biden took office, he canceled the Keystone Pipeline, which would have meant, I believe it was 800 barrels of oil coming into the United States every day. He signed executive orders that shut down oil and gas exploration on federal lands. All of those orders have now been reversed by President Trump, and I think that we're going to see the return to the kind of energy abundance that we saw in the first Trump administration. Don't forget, during Trump's first administration, we actually became energy independent for the first time in our lifetimes. The day he left office, gasoline cost $2.39 a gallon.
The Trump tax cuts that were alluded to earlier, are there things that you would like to see change moving forward, or would you just like to see them continue as they were?
I think they need to continue. They were a remarkable success. We actually brought in more revenues after the tax cuts than we had before those cuts, and that was because of the enormous positive impact that they had on the economy. We had one of the biggest economic expansions in our country's history, and the Trump tax cuts were a big part of that. The other big part of that were the regulatory rollbacks, where he promised, I think, to repeal three regulations for every new regulation was proposed. Instead, he repealed like six. Now he's promising 10 regulations repealed for every new one introduced. That's going to have an enormous positive impact on the economy. So I'm very optimistic that we're going to see these measures take effect in rapid order, and we are going to see that new American golden age that he glimpsed in his inaugural address last month.
You know, you talked about the Doge Committee earlier and some things that were found. Do you think, like, you know, with the rise of artificial intelligence and new software systems, will things be weeded out differently in the future?
Well, I know, first of all, that they are using that technology to try to get to the bottom of all of this waste, so that's going to be a huge assist. But the other thing we have to bear in mind is AI itself has the potential of being a bigger game changer than the internet, and that's not me talking, that's the experts of Silicon Valley. So we could be on the edge of the next quantum leap in American productivity thanks to AI. The Biden administration was trying to regulate it out of existence. The Trump administration is going to be doing everything it can to get out of the way of the private sector to develop this remarkable new technology.
You know, what committees are you on right now? Are the main ones that you're focusing on?
Well, I'm on the budget committee, so obviously had a big role to play in the budget that we just put out, and that hopefully will be voted on by the House of Representatives next week. I sit on natural resources and both on federal lands and water and power, and we just had a major breakthrough this month. We put out the Fixing Our Forests Act. That measure does a lot of very good things. It has all of my legislation in it that was taken from the Tahoe Basin that has cut the red tape that was keeping us from managing our forests in the Tahoe Basin properly. That law will now be extended throughout the federal forest system. That's now out of the House, and I think it's got a very good chance of passage in the Senate and being signed by the President. And then, as you know, I chair the Immigration Subcommittee of House Judiciary. We just put out the Lake and Riley Act that was signed into law 2 weeks ago that requires that criminal illegal aliens be taken into custody and deported, and allows states to sue any future federal official like Joe Biden who refuses to discharge the law and to force them to discharge that law.
I'm curious your thoughts on the upcoming fire season as well. We just saw the devastation in Los Angeles. We're sitting talking here in late February. Fire season's going to be here soon in the Sierra foothills. Obviously a different terrain from LA to Los Angeles or to this area, but do you think there were some lessons learned from down south that should be applied and looked at statewide?
Nature's been trying to teach us those lessons for years, and we keep ignoring them. We used to do a very good job of managing our forests when we recognized that, you know, an untended forest is no different than an untended garden. If you leave it alone, it's going to grow and grow and ultimately choke itself to death and succumb to disease and pestilence and drought and ultimately catastrophic wildfire. That's why we created the land management agencies like the Forest Service to do the gardening ourselves, to take out excess timber and undergrowth before it chokes off the forest and burns. We saw a dramatic reduction in the acreage destroyed by fire when we applied those modern scientific forest management policies. We went from about 4.5 million acres a year destroyed by catastrophic fire in California every year down to about 250,000 acres. And that was true throughout the 20th century. But then those environmental laws that made it impossible for us to manage our forests took effect beginning in the 1970s. And we've had an 80% decline in timber harvested off of the federal lands as a result. And by the way, we've had a concomitant increase in acres destroyed by fire. We've now reached a point where 27% of our federal forests have been utterly destroyed by catastrophic fire over the past decade. That's not a new normal. That's the old normal coming back because we refuse to continue the policies of maintaining our forests that had served us so well throughout the 20th century.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Congressman Tom McClintock on this weekend's Motherload Views. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment here in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, getting an update from Congressman Tom McClintock, a Republican who represents District 5 in the U.S. House on this weekend's Motherload Views. Congressman McClintock, another topic I want to ask you about is I'm curious your thoughts on the cabinet picks that were selected by President Trump.
I'm ecstatic about them. They're all highly motivated. They're coming from outside of the bureaucracy, so they're going to be taking a fresh view of what's been going on inside those bureaucracies. And they're going to carry out the policies of the president, which the American people chose. So I'm very high on these appointments.
You know, over the past month, there's been so much, you know, focus on DOGE and that aspect. What do you think, you know, looking ahead to later this year and even the next year, you know, what do you think are going to be the big issues that, that the country and Congress and the president are going to be focusing on?
Well, the same issues that motivated the election, securing our borders and restoring the safety and security of the American people, and improving the economy. By reducing excess spending, excess regulations, and allowing freedom to produce the kind of prosperity that it always produces when it's supported.
What do you make of kind of what's going on overseas right now with Russia and Ukraine and the president's handling of overseas conflicts at this point?
Well, I think we're going to see in the next month or so. I am increasingly optimistic that we're already seeing between the Middle East and Ukraine a diminution in hostilities. I think, you know, simply by taking the strong stance that he's taken, we may well be within sight of ending this terrible war in Ukraine and stabilizing the situation in the Middle East. I mean, things got so far out of control under Biden because of the entirely weak approach that he used to our foreign policy. We finally have a president who's standing up, taking strong stands, and we'll know the results, I think, within just a few months.
You know, we talked a little bit about fires earlier. How about water? Do you anticipate quite a bit of action over these next couple of years on water?
Well, the president's already made that very clear when he issued his executive order last month. But the same environmental laws that prevent us from managing our forests also prevent us from adding new water projects or even completing the ones that we started. And I think that there's going to be a great deal of attention devoted to reforming those laws to get the government out of the way and to restore an era of resource abundance that we used to take for granted as Americans.
Do you have any strong opinions on the high-speed rail in California and federal funding going to that project?
Oh, that is the biggest waste in the long history of government boondoggles. I opposed it from the time it was first proposed in the state legislature, even then, using their own rosy estimates. It never penciled out. It was always a boondoggle. And for some reason, these grifters were able to sell people on the sizzle of the high-speed rail without giving the slightest attention to the actual reality and the numbers behind it. If we had simply used the resources we've already put into the high-speed rail simply to expand our existing highway system, I doubt we would have gridlock in any part of that system. I remember doing the calculations at the time. It meant literally hundreds and hundreds of miles of angioplasty on the most densely congested freeway routes in California. Don't forget that paying far lower taxes than we pay today, we had the finest highway system in the world in the 1960s because we applied the money that people paid through their gas tax at the pump for their highways. And so as people, as more people drove, we expanded the highway system to meet those needs, and the California freeways were the envy of the world. Look at what the woke left has done. They've ripped off those funds for purposes unrelated to our highways. They have sunk billions of dollars into boondoggles like the high-speed rail, and they've allowed our highways to stagnate while the population has doubled. So why are we surprised that we're now dealing with gridlock on most of our major routes? So this was a deliberate policy by the left, and the important thing that people have got to understand is we don't have to live this way. These were policy choices that we made when we voted for the morons who implemented these policies, and we can change that any time that we summon the political will.
Going back to fire a little bit, with California, of course, is a place where natural disasters happen, whether it's fires, flooding, earthquakes. The governor is going to have to be working with President Trump most likely on future situations over these next 4 years or next couple of years, at least for the governor. Are you optimistic or hopeful that tensions will be a little lower between the two sides?
Well, the problem with the governor is he's utterly incompetent, and he's an ideological zealot who simply doesn't recognize the simple realities. And the same, by the way, is true of Karen Bass down in Los Angeles. So, you know, I've said, you know, any aid going to Los Angeles, or for that matter, anywhere else in California, must not pass through the hands of Gavin Newsom or Karen Bass or any of their confederates. It needs to be administered by a new FEMA or passed directly to the fire victims themselves. I mean, the first priority, I think, is finally to do justice to the victims of the Caldor fire at Grizzly Flats. When FEMA denied individual assistance to the victims of the Creek Fire a few years ago, Donald Trump was president. One single call to him got that FEMA decision reversed and the aid flowing to the fire victims. For 4 years, we've been trying to get the Biden administration to do the same thing. When they denied individual assistance to the victims of the Caldor Fire, and we got nothing but crickets from them. So I'm hoping that one of the first acts of the administration is going to be to reverse that decision and get individual aid to the victims of the Caldor Fire at long last.
Yeah, do you think there will be an elimination of FEMA or a new FEMA, as you say, over these coming years?
Well, there's going to have to be a complete reorganization because that institution itself has proven itself to be highly politicized. I mean, this business of denying aid to anybody in the hurricane zone that had a Trump sign in their yard is an example of just how far out of control things got. So yeah, there's going to have to be a top to bottom house cleaning there. But FEMA does play an important role, and we're going to need a new agency once again efficiently serves the purpose of FEMA, which is to assist Americans who have been devastated by natural disasters.
We've gotten into a lot of topics today. Anything else that's on your mind or that you're hearing about from constituents?
Boy, there is so much going on right now, but as I said, I think that the two most important issues that controlled the election and that are dominating the attention of this administration are securing our borders and reviving our economy, and I think we're just in this first month well on the way to achieving those goals.
Are you optimistic that 2 years from now you're going to see Republicans still holding the Senate and the House?
I think if we're able to deliver, yes, I have no doubt of that. These policies matter, and the policies that work are those that build our country. Constitutionally limited government, individual liberty, and personal responsibility, and those are the principles that are going back into the economic policies of this administration. So, yes, I expect that they will have the results that they've always had when they've been applied. I mean, this is not a theoretical exercise. We know what works. Removing the burdens from an economy works. The economy expands and thrives. Adding burdens to the economy puts the brakes on it and causes nothing but misery and shortages. I think the entire history of human civilization can be summed up in four words, freedom works and socialism sucks.
Well, Congressman McClintock, we'll have to end on that note. I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Here we thank Congressman Tom McClintock for being our guest on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.